when Whippoorwill calls, and evening is night, I hurry to my blue heaven. You turn to the right, you find a little bright light that leads you to my blue heaven. You find a cozy place, fireplace, cozy room. On a nest, that nest is where the roses bloom. Just Molly and me, and a baby makes three. Be happy in my blue heaven.
Welcome indeed. Welcome to My Blue Heaven. Welcome to the Naked Football Show. And welcome Mr. Matt Makin, who's joined me today. And we're going to be talking football, obviously, men's football, but also women's football, in particular the game coming up this Saturday, the very, very first game at Portman Road for Ipswich Women. And that's something to look forward to. But before that, welcome, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, welcome, Matt. That's a, well, we've done that joke before, haven't we?
We have. If I had a pound for every time I'd heard that joke, I'd be a very rich person indeed.
You try not to repeat yourself, but when you actually just say it as an introduction, you forget what you've just said, and I'll probably say it next time you're on as well, so don't worry. How are you, Matt?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, enjoying life as a town supporter. It's great, isn't it?
It's unreal,
still
isn't
great.
It? It's unreal.
I was thinking I'm going to wake up and it's still 2020 and Paul Lambert's just got a big contract extension that no one can explain.
Yes.
Least of all Paul Lambert. So
yes.
Long may it continue.
I know. Yeah, it is unreal, isn't it? And the thing is, I know we'll be bitterly, bitterly disappointed if we don't go up. Well, not so much if we don't go up, but if we lose in the playoffs, especially, you know, that the scenario. But you have to look at the overarching season and think, my goodness, that's such great football to watch, isn't it?
It's just so entertaining, and you're quite right. I had to... The Cardiff game, obviously, I think the manner of the defeat was quite disappointing. I sat there in the plough with my mates after, and I had to keep reminding myself that my bold prediction at the start of the season was that Town would finish 11th. I had to give myself a bit of context that, you know, we're pretty much nailed on top six. We're outsiders. We're effectively not just in top two hunt. We are in a title hunt when you look at how tight the points are, how Leicester have completely got dragged back into it. Even they win their game in hand, they're still not that far clear of us and Leeds.
No.
And Southampton bringing up the rear at the moment. They're in that top four that's sort of broken away from the rest of the division. It is just brilliant, and just you have to keep giving yourself a bit of context. I think this is amazing. This time last year we were gunning for second in League One, and this time now we're gunning for maybe second, maybe first, at least top four in the Championship, the division above, first season, competing against teams much better resourced than we are. We are sort of where Plymouth were competing against us last season. And like Plymouth did with us, we're more than holding our own. It's great.
Yes, as I put on Twitter, plucky little Ipswich and their lucky little win against Sheffield Wednesday. But yeah, absolutely. I was watching someone, a competitor, which I won't mention, Blue Monday, and they were talking to Nick Ames. Yeah, did you watch it?
It's on my podcast queue to listen to. Okay. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's the second time the guys at Blue Monday have spoken to Nick.
Yeah.
And he's on the Blue Monday Telegram chat that the guys often plug, which I'm on as well. And he's an excellent insight. So I'm really looking forward to listening to that one.
I've had him on my show when we had to do it. What's the word when it's not indoors?
Remotely.
That's the word, yeah. All these modern...
He's flicking through the dictionary furiously, listeners.
All these modern names that I don't understand. during COVID, and a very interesting guy, and actually a very funny story. I mentioned it to Rich. I was in a bar after the Bristol game, not a bar, a cafe, in the breakfast after the Bristol game, and there was a guy talking and giving a match report on his phone, and I thought, that's Nick. And because I'd never met him, I've obviously had him on the show, but it was remotely.
Yes.
Went over and I said, I'm Graham, I do the Naked Football Show that you were on a few weeks ago. And he said, and? So what's that effect? And I said, are you not Nick Ames? And he said, no. So I talk about feeling slightly embarrassed. But anyway,
back down to earth with a bubble.
Anyway, TV. I was watching the interview with Nick the other night, and he was quietly confident that McKenna wouldn't leave, assuming we don't go up, despite the offers. Having said that, I think he was saying something to the effect, I won't spoil it because you're going to watch it, to the effect that depending what the offer is, and I don't think he means the money, he means what the opportunities are going to be like. But what are your thoughts? Do you think that if we don't go up, if the worst happens, that he will leave if a good offer comes in? Because there's going to be offers, I would have thought.
There's going to be offers. Yeah. It's been a long time since we've been in a position where a manager's going to leave to go up and not down. Mm. There is a risk he goes if we don't go up, but I think the offer has to be very good. Kieran McKenna was very clear when he came to us that he picked us just as much as we picked him. He did his homework on what the opportunities were going to be here, and I think he's going to do the same with any other offers that come in for him now. He's going to be hot property in the summer. Whether we go up or not, he's going to be hot property in the summer. But I don't think he's going to leave us. He's not going to leave us for a sideways move, even if it moved up a division. I know he was quite heavily linked, well, spuriously, but heavily linked with Palace. Crystal Palace, yeah. At the start of the year. For me, yes, they're a Premier League club. They're probably one of these clubs that sits in that little zone where they're never going to break into the top half European places, but they're probably not going to go down either. But I think other than that, what do Palace offer him in terms of development opportunities that he hasn't got here? So I think it's going to have to be a really good offer to prize him away if we don't go up. You can't rule it out. I'm probably on the glass half full side that I think we can do enough to keep him here. Certainly I think the club will be doing all they can to say, look, you stick with us and you'll get X, Y and Z.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a very good job here, and I think it would take a lot to prize him away.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say he's definitely going to be here.
No.
Because you never know.
You never know. And did you watch the interview with Matt Holland and Mark Ashton? The recent one. I know you did a year ago.
No, so much content coming out from the club at the moment. Blimey. Particularly when we're talking about the women's game. It's just difficult to keep up with everything that's coming out of Turn TV at the moment.
Well, I think I mentioned this the other week. You get the impression that he isn't in a hurry to leave.
No.
And he's, you know, the things going on in the background, the redevelopment of the training facilities and, of course, or the training ground and, of course, the later, which won't happen in the next week or two, but the redevelopment around Portman Road and the new Portman stand, I mean, it's quite amazing what's going on.
He knows that the club are kind of building a project around him.
Yeah.
And he's got a great deal of influence on things like the redevelopment of the training ground. And that's probably going to be more important to him, in a sense, than the development of the stadium. Obviously, he'll be pleased about that in terms of the matchday experience, but he spends more of his time at Playford Road than he does at Portman Road, I suspect.
Yeah.
So again, that's the sort of thing that he's going to maybe be the encouragement to stay. That,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, you can go to a Palace, a Brentford, a Brighton. And Brent, to be fair, Brentford and Brighton are the clubs that sort of you do worry a bit more because they're a bit more rapidly mobile. But is he going to have that same degree of control and influence somewhere else? Probably not.
Yeah, this is
so. Hopefully, that can be the unique selling point that Mark Ashton and co. can use to try and tie him down.
That and the hire and fire mentality of the Premiership, of course.
Look at Graham Potter as an example. Yes. Great coach overseas, did a really good job with Brighton, sort of built the foundations that De Zerbi is now kind of building on. He's gone to Chelsea. Kieran McKenna would jump from Ipswich to a club the size of Chelsea, but he's had an absolute mare there, as a lot of managers do at Chelsea these days, and he's now out of work again. And Chelsea's getting sacked from Chelsea's not exactly a black mark on your CV, but he's going to have to kind of go back down a bit and start again to build himself back up. So there is always that risk of the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
It would be interesting to see. I'm sure Mark Ashton and co. have fingers in pies and will be thinking about a replacement. Obviously, hopefully not soon. But would wonder who. It'd be ironic if we got Graham Potter in, wouldn't it?
There'll be somebody on that infamous data dashboard of Mark Ashton's.
There will, yeah, there will.
Or more than one person.
Indeed, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, blimey, whatever Mark Ashton. However, if he fails in the future, you can't knock him for picking out Kieran McKenna.
No.
My goodness, what a move that
Very
was.
Very true.
Have a quick look at the few things we've come in since Twitter's gone mad. Dean Mitchell, hello, mate. Is the only way to keep Amari to get promoted and either buy him or he's loaned to us in the next stage of his development? Scary to think we might only see him for another 8 games.
It is. It's scary enough that there's only 8 games left of the season. I'm sure it was the opening game. I was watching the Sunderland away on the telly only a few weeks ago.
I know, it seemed, and everyone thinking, oh, I'm not sure Ladkey's going to make it.
Yeah, I was one of those. Yes,
I know.
Yeah, and if George Lee is listening, yeah, I was a bit worried at the start, but yes, George, you were right, he's very good. And, can we keep him, Murray? Now, yeah, I was thinking about that on the drive back from the office to here, and I know the guys on Kings of Anglia spoke about that really well. I think even if we go up, we're probably not in a position to be able to afford to buy him.
Mm.
If we go up, though, I think there's a very good chance we can get him back on loan, especially if Kieran McKenna's still here, because he's obviously thrived here.
Absolutely,
and in no small part due to Kieran McKenna. I must admit, I put my hands up. When he first came, I wasn't sure what he offered over Connor Edwards, to be honest. And, you know, pre-season, there was the Innsbruck Cup, I might have been the game against Leipzig, and he was won too many touches and could have just smashed it in the back of the net. And you think, oh, God, that's great. He's one of these ones that's for the camera reel, for the show reel, you know, flicks and tricks and that. But Kieran McKenna's turned him into a phenomenal player. He's really kind of stood up at championship level here. So I can see Chelsea will probably want to send him back in. There's a lot of traffic in front of him at Chelsea.
Yeah,
he's not going to necessarily burst into the first team next season there, having had one good season here.
Absolutely.
I would never say never about getting him back on loan again. If we don't go up, it's much harder to do. There is that argument that he can continue his development here. You know, he's got that base here. But there will be a lot of other clubs that would have gone up from the Championship this season that have seen him, clubs in the Premier League. So I said one way or the other, I don't see him coming here permanently next summer, or this summer rather, but I could see him coming back online, especially if we do get promoted.
Yeah, thank you for that, Dino. What else did he say? The 8 games bit, are we able to play him in the playoffs as it stands, or does his season officially end after the next 8 games? That's the point. I wonder if that's the point Dino was making. Thanks for that, Dino.
Yeah. Royce was still a lone player when we went into that. I mean, granted, that's nearly a quarter of a century ago.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. but I'm sure we had lone players in the squads for the players. I don't know. I guess it depends on the nature of the loan deal.
Exactly.
I would be very surprised if we've not tied in.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? You'd hope so.
To say, you know, we want to keep him for the playoff games. It's still technically part of the season, I guess. I'm not an expert on how these deals are written, but no. I'd hope he is available, especially with the recent injury to Wes Burns. It's kind of more important.
Oh,
than
very much so. Yes, that's an interesting one. We've not heard anymore, but it sounds bad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Interestingly, I thought his best game was Saturday. I know you couldn't make it, but playing in the Connor Chapman role.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that, and unfortunately, I wasn't there at Portman Road. We had to go away this weekend. My wife and I, I've watched the highlights, and he had an excellent game. I've spoken to a few friends that were at Portman Road on Saturday, and they've all said the same. That's probably one of the best games they've seen him have in a town shirt. And
I wonder if it's because he's more involved, stuck in the middle, where you know he's going to get the ball fizzed at him all the time, whereas out on the wing, you know.
He does, but then he's scored goals from the right and the left.
Yes,
as well.
He does.
So he scored his first goal against Southampton away, playing on that left-hand side.
Yeah.
So he can play anywhere across that three behind the lone striker, which is really nice to have that degree of versatility there. It's an interesting one because, like I say, Wes Burns has gone off quite a nasty injury. It doesn't sound like very good. McKenna very much preparing people for the worst in the post-match.
I think so, yeah.
I suggest we've not heard any more because he's not been able to have the scan yet because the swelling's not gone down, I'm not a medical expert, but that's probably not good if they're not even able to do the scan yet. He's obviously not gone away with Wales. So it's a case of if Chaplin comes back in, he's out with back strain at the weekend, you'd say Hutchison's going to be that starter on the right, but then if Chaplin's not fit for after the international break, then you could see Hutchinson in that 10 with Caden Jackson out on the right.
Yeah.
Because he had a good game. It was a great assist for Nathan Broadhead's goal.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting, it's an odd problem to have. Where do you play Omari Hutchinson in that three? He can really play anywhere, but it's good to know that we've got that option to put him in the 10 there if something does happen to Chaplin.
Definitely.
More long term than a bit of back strain.
Yeah. It's a shame we haven't got leg replacement surgery yet that you can just do over a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, just take the leg off, put another one on, that'll sort it quicker. This is from Slowerball. Good evening, Blackers. Good evening, Mackers. Love the show. Emailing this missive on the train from the airport. Oh, he's now back in England, cold, grey and miserable.
Oh, they've let him back in.
The trouble is he's beaten us both to it because he's put at the end and that's just me. So I was going to say something, you said it. And,
you've got to get up early in the morning to get back.
Yeah, indeed. What a fantastic win against the Owls. Does the panel think that was one of our best displays for a good while? Stop there for a second.
Yeah. It's the biggest win in the season. It's a clean sheet. Obviously, you have to sort of register that Sheffield Wednesday weren't great. However, you've still got to beat what's in front of you. Certainly, I don't think it was necessarily we were completely all over him from the off until that first goal went in. But yeah, it does sound like a complete performance, and certainly listening to McKenna's post-match comments, he was really very pleased happy with the intensity. And we know that's what he likes to see in his sides, so yeah, definitely it's a really good response to the Cardiff defeat.
Yes,
it's kind of like, in a way you were like, oh, I wish we had a midweek game to kind of go over that quickly, but actually having a week on the training ground to regroup, because as a lot of people have said, it was a case of taking our own medicine at Cardiff, that they did to us what we've done to a lot of teams this season, and turned it on at the end. So it's I think it's really good just from that point of view as well. It's a real statement of saying, yeah, okay, right, we had a blip over in Wales, and we've almost done what Man City sometimes do when they have a blip, is we've just gone out and smashed the next team that we play.
Yeah, exactly. He goes on, difficult to make such a statement given the last 18 months. He's hoping the injuries aren't as bad as the international break allows suitable recovery time, although that's unlikely for Burns. I think both exactly said that, and we just about now.
I'll be very surprised to see him again this season. I really hope I'm wrong, but it doesn't sound good.
It doesn't, I know. Boo. Love the show, keep smiling. God bless John Scales. Do you remember John Scales?
Cool.
Oh, blimey.
It's one for the kids.
Yeah. Okay. On to the women. What do you think? What do we know how many tickets are sold yet?
So the last announcement from the club earlier this week was that over 7,000 tickets have been sold.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which is quite frankly, it's phenomenal. It's really good.
It's around 10 times the amount they get to Felix Stowe.
Yeah, it is. We average around sort of between 700 and 800 at the AGL Arena in Felix Stowe. We've packed it. It's about 2,000 capacity there. We packed it out for that FA Cup quarterfinal a couple of seasons ago. You were there for that. We've topped over 1,000 a few times. Southampton, the round before that season, was over 1,000. We came very close to that playing Norwich there a few seasons ago as well. But this is big. This is really big. It's the first league game they've ever played there. They did play a County Cup game there in 2019. Beat Needham 8-0. I've seen Natasha Thomas is the only player in the squad that was there for that game, and I've seen some stills of Tash playing in that game, and you can see just rows and rows of empty seats behind her. That's definitely not going to be the case. They've opened all the lower tiers. Stand and the Cobalt Stand are pretty much sold out now. They're pushing, getting people in sort of in the lower north and the lower Churchmans. Sir Bobby and Sir Ralph, as they're called now. And it's great. I think the club are aiming sort of between 8 to 10. So that they're well on the way there. I think I'm quite confident we'll beat the was it just over 7,500? I think that up the Ruid managed at their place last season when their women played at their ground.
Oh, okay.
So if we can top that, that's the real quiz, really, isn't it? You want to beat that. But joking aside, it's opening up a whole new audience for the women's team.
Yes.
And obviously we can't fit 7,000 into the AGL Arena, but if we can see some numbers going up of people coming down to Felixstowe on a Sunday to watch them play, that would be great. And it's going to be fantastic for the team,
yes,
as well. Some of the stuff I have been able to watch on Town TV, obviously, there was an interview with Joe Sheehan, yep, manager, and Captain Maria Boswell, went out earlier this week. And Joe made a point in his first game in charge at Felixstowe. There was 32 people there.
32.
And that's only 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so the numbers have been increasing season on season, and obviously the success that they've had and moving up from the fourth to the third tier has played a part in that.
Mm.
But it's just, I'm really pleased to see that so many people are going to come out and make this a really good atmosphere. The club are treating it properly. They're treating it like a proper Saturday 3 p.m. game. The fan zone is going to be open. Both supporters clubs, so Ipswich Town Women's Supporters Club, which I'm the secretary of, and also the Ipswich Town Supporters Club, going to have a joint presence in the fan zone. There's going to be the voting for Women's Player of the Year in the fan zone. There'll be more going out about that on social media as we go through the week. It's going to be a proper match day experience, Portman Road match day experience, and I can't wait personally.
Replacement with drummers. I thought Nathan couldn't make it.
Ah, but we have two, don't we?
Oh, you do.
We have two. So yes, your friend of mine, Rich will be over this drum, and Andrew Waring, so Megan Waring's dad. They're both going to be in the North Stand with drums. It's just fantastic. I'm really, really excited about Saturday. I mean, I'm excited about most Saturdays at Portman Road, to be fair, these days, but this one's got a real special significance.
A question I did get sent in, or texted in, actually, this one. Can you buy a ticket on the door?
Yes, I believe they will be selling on the day. I don't know if it's going to be on the turnstiles or you have to go into the ticket office on the day. Did ask that question of the club earlier this week, and I know they're going to make sure that goes out via social media, but there's definitely intention that you can buy tickets on the day. But tickets are available now on the website. It's the same pricing structure at Felixstowe. They've not put the prices up because we're at Portman Road, so you're still looking £6 for an adult ticket, £2 for over 65s and under 19s. So it's an absolute bargain, in my opinion. It's a shame for us. It's kind of half a dead rubber. I'm not sure which half, because for us, really, I think Ipswich Women they're out of contention for promotion now. We're adrift. But Chatham haven't won a game all season, and I think if they lose this weekend, that's them done in terms of they're not getting out of relegation. Mm. So Chatham definitely have kind of something to scrap for. But could be a lot of goals. I mean, saw a lot of goals there last weekend. Could see a lot of goals again this weekend.
Don't tempt fate, mate. Don't tempt fate. Nil-nil.
Could. Yeah. I tell you what, I couldn't actually tell you the last time I watched an Ipswich Town Women 0-0. I think it might have been the Portsmouth or Gillingham a couple of seasons ago. It was a one evening match at Felixstowe that season. I think it was Gillingham. It was 0-0, and they celebrated like they'd won 4-0. So yeah, it's very, very rare that you don't see goals at an Ipswich Women's game.
Yeah, absolutely. What else was I going to say? Yes, the playoff dates have been announced, haven't they, today? I don't know if you've just seen that.
Yes, I saw that earlier.
I can't remember what they are, but they're announced.
They are what they are. I think not that we'll need them, because we're going to go up top two, Graham, obviously. Well, yeah. But hypothetically, should we need them? I think if that scenario of third v sixth being an East Anglian derby comes to pass, I suspect... EFL have got backup dates in their back pocket, because I can't see... They were both moved to Saturdays in 2015, I think, in the end, weren't they? So I can't see one of those being a midweeker if we do end up playing Norwich in the semis.
Well, we have played that lot in the midweek fairly recently, didn't we?
2011.
Well, under Roy Keane, was it?
Roy Keane.
Was it 2011?
2011,
oh
yeah.
Oh my God, I feel
and there was a lot of trouble that night, if I recall, so I can't see Suffolk and Norfolk Constabulary being open to that again. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do shift slightly depending on who we're playing, if we are. And obviously there's the playoff final's a little bit up in the air, because at the moment Coventry could very well be playing in an FA Cup final. Is it a day or two before or after, I think?
Yeah.
They're quite close together, the playoff final and the FA Cup final.
And we've
in theory, if Coventry beat Man United in the semis
and
are involved in the playoffs, that could throw things up in the air again.
It's already thrown things up in the air, because we don't know when we're playing Coventry now, do we?
It's going to be a bit of, not so much for us, but certainly for Southampton, it's going to be a bit of fixture congestion, because there's championship season coming.
Okay, well, I think this is a first on the show, as we've only got a few seconds left. A prediction for Saturday. Ipswich women, go.
7-0.
7-0. Cool, blimey. Hope you're right. Who do we play on the following Saturday?
It's Blackburn away on Good Friday.
Quick prediction for that, and then we go.
2-1.
Ipswich. 2-1. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Till next week. Take care. Bye.